Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. We're live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Busy hour coming up in 15 minutes. We'll get into today's Major League Baseball card. Only one day game. It's the Yankees at the Blue Jays, and right now Toronto is leading 9-4 as they play in the, what is that, Pauly, top of the eighth inning the way it looks?
Yeah.
Springer with a grand slam to put him up on top there by five runs. Bottom of the hour, Derek Stevens in studio, owner and CEO of this great property. I want to point this out today with NBA free agency because the biggest news is with the Milwaukee Bucks, right? Because they announced that they're going to waive Damian Lillard and they're going to also stretch his contract, which means he's owed $112 million over the next 2 years. They are going to stretch that out over the next 5 years, and they're going to take a dead cap hit of $22 million per year, which is extraordinary considering that today is Bobby Bonilla Day, by the way.
Yeah, you're right.
So they then signed Miles Turner to a four-year, $107 million contract. Immediately when this news broke, Chris Haynes tweeted out, breaking news, Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo is not pleased with the team's decision to waive Damian Lillard. League sources tell him. At the same exact time, someone who covers the NBA for Forbes said that Giannis Antetokounmpo was recruiting Miles Turner to Indiana.
From Milwaukee.
From Indiana to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. How can both those things be true? I'm calling absolute BS, yeah, probably on this report, that he's unhappy. Because if Giannis is going to recruit Miles Turner to Milwaukee, does he not know that the team is probably going to have to move away from Damian Lillard? To me, there's no way both these statements can be true. Impossible.
Well, yeah. And what do you want him to do? I mean, that's my comeback to freak. The guy's not going to play this year. Plus, who knows what he's going to have left after the Achilles injury.
That's right.
This would be what a blow after you make all these moves and freak's like, I don't like it. Get me out. I mean, that would be savage. But certainly, they made a lot of moves and a little bit of movement in the future market. But you bring Porter back, you get Prince back, the Turner news, shocking.
Gary Harris, Trent, they're going to run it back.
Got Trent back, right, yep. So to get Turner and take him away from Indiana, I mean, that was, okay, well, you know, it's like rock climbing with Tony and the guys at Seinfeld. You have fun? Well, for a little while. You know, you go to game seven of the finals, Halliburton's out for the year, and now Turner leaves.
Sure.
So it's what Brian Windhorst said earlier, I'd be furious if I'm with the Pacers organization that, okay, get us through this year. We'll be okay. We have Turner. But their reluctance to go into the tax, and he goes for $100 million. I will point out, for the last time, though, I will point out that this guy, they could have had him for a bag of donuts, the Lakers, numerous times, and couldn't work it out. The guy's a nice player. I know he disappears at times and can't make a three, but to have a big body like that and good addition for Milwaukee to grab Turner.
It's also the fact that they
hate each other. That's the other thing. Well, you got to be, I mean, they don't like each other. The rivalry, you take them out in the first round. See you guys. I know we went to the finals, but I'm going to Milwaukee now.
Yeah, sure. Like, I like Turner. I certainly don't love him. Did I scramble again today to go bet the Bucks to win the East or the NBA title? I did not.
Yeah. So what do you think? So look at this now. The Boston Celtics in some spots have worse odds than Milwaukee, Dallas, Philadelphia, and Orlando to win the title.
Now, should that be the case?
No.
I mean, the Celtics are still a pretty damn good team.
Brad Stevens did a great job.
As of right now, Paul, they have that's a pretty good roster.
Yeah. Should the Hawks still be that low?
I don't think so. I think that the movement on the Hawks to win the East specifically, by the way, in some spots dropped to like 13-1. Have we watched Trae Young play? Anybody?
They get Kennard, who's an assassin from three, and they get Alexander Walker, who Trae Young recruited. They grab him. And they also had the Porzingis trade as well. So I'll go along with Daniels, not bad. You might significant movement to them on a win the East. And then the other one is a lot of people love San Antonio. And I know Jeff Sherman has been out in front of this because he thought they could make a trade. Didn't happen. At least a big trade, get a star. No Durant, no freak. But all the assets, and now that you have Harper, Fox, and a healthy Wembanyama, that people are high on San Antonio as well. But for the East now, Orlando's 6-1, Boston's 10, Philly's 11, the Hawks are 12, the Bucks are 13. No respect for the Pistons, who are 16.
Well, they lost Tim Hardaway Jr. He signed today with Denver.
And Schroeder left.
Yep.
And they got the Beasley mess.
Well, that's quite the offseason so far for that team. Uh-huh. So, no, thank you. I don't want any part of them. I think the Knicks had a good couple of days.
Yes, I agree.
They brought in Jordan Clarkson along with Yabusele, who signed a two-year deal. He's the French kid who came in and played with Philadelphia last year. I thought absolutely had some moments. And I have to point out that the Tyus Jones signing, one-year deal with the Magic, is completely under the radar. He's not a superstar. I think that's a really big deal for Orlando. He's a super solid player. He's the kind of guy, let's say Jones would have signed with Milwaukee. Okay, now we're cooking a little bit, in my opinion. Like, the Bucks have put something together here. They got better with some of the subtractions, I believe. Like, to get Turner for Brook Lopez, essentially, I think is a massive upgrade. They traded Pat Connaughton today. Bye-bye. Yeah. I mean, he had great moments with Milwaukee, no doubt, but it was time to move on from him. And if they could have brought in someone like Tyus Jones, to me, I mean, not to sound too ridiculous, I think the Bucks would have been total players next year in the East. I'm not there with them yet. They need at least one more piece before I can get that silly.
Detroit just acquired Duncan Robinson. That does anything for you. A guy can shoot. And where are you at with Denver? Jeff Sherman at the Westgate, top NBA guy, moved Denver to lower Denver to 9-1 to win the title. Johnny Avello, hey, Mitch, at DraftKings has Denver to 11-1 as they traded Porter for Johnson. They also grabbed Bruce Brown, and they got Valanciunas today. And Hardaway, as you mentioned.
Can we put up the odds to win the NBA title next year overall?
I'd rather have Denver than Houston, even though they got Finney Smith as well. But I'll still take the best player in the world. And now that they're trying to add some depth and do a better job in Denver, and certainly Porter can score, can't defend, and that was a horrendous contract they got out from under.
I'll say this right now. So the top five teams in the league to win the title next year: Thunder, Rockets, Cavaliers, Knicks, and the Nuggets. Oklahoma City is better than Denver by a little bit. Houston's good. Are they better than Denver? I don't know. The Cavaliers might be better. The Knicks are not better than Denver. And then there is
not a lot of respect for a team that won 64 games, in my opinion.
That's exactly right. But look at now, Denver, current state right now, Denver's 11-1, and the LOL Lakers are 16-1. Paul, come on.
I know, but that's liability.
They'll bet it.
They don't matter who care who's on the team, they're going to bet it.
Those rosters are not close to being the same.
Yeah, this is unfortunate what's happened. It's like Palinka's just got his feet up because he made the biggest heist in history, and I don't know what's going on. Finney Smith walks. You haven't signed Ayton. Lopez goes across town, and Capella goes to Houston. I don't know why Houston did that, but in any event, you can't get Capella either. So you got to get a center. And then you thought the stars were aligned with Ayton, and Ayton's still out there. And now the door's open with Indiana, who, as you mentioned, they signed him to the offer sheet, max contract, matched by Phoenix, who then shipped him out the next day. But he was awesome at the end of last season. He'd be a perfect fit for the Lakers. If they don't get this guy, it's a disaster.
I went down a rabbit hole today of some of these tweets from the biggest newsbreakers in the NBA, and the people were basically saying Palenka is the most overrated GM in the NBA the last how many ever years. If it wasn't for the Luka trade falling into his lap, they're like, name me what he's done.
I thought he did a pretty good job at the deadline when they went to the conference finals. But
overall,
I kind of get the point. You know, it's kind of like De Niro, though, at Copland. I mean, his hands are tied, too, aren't they? I mean, how much power does he have?
I know, and the team was cheap before, too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no excuse here for this.
Well, it's unfortunate because LeBron might only have 2 years left, maybe one. And this would be a tough way to go out. You have Luka and LeBron on the same team. Come on.
I know.
And I thought they were there, though, too. I mean, they were the 3 seed last year. It's just no center. They got exposed against Minnesota. And I know they lost in 5, but they had double-digit leads in the road games. They're up 10 in the fourth quarter of game 4. Huh? They let that slip away.
Yeah.
But you have Reeves, too. Problem is, these guys can't defend. They can score, but can't defend. Hello, I need a center. But
yeah, right.
That's why you have to get Ayton. I'm on board. You have Reeves, Ayton, Luka, LeBron. Hell of a start. And then can he make a trade? Can he use the Hachimura contract in peace along with Gabe Vincent and a pick and acquire somebody? You know, but that's Lopez gone, Capella gone. You can get Ayton because Portland gave you the favor of buying him out. And then can you get another piece and do something there maybe with Hachimura? We'll see, but it doesn't look good.
I'll bring up one more team here. Should the Lakers be 16-1? I get it. They're going to take bets no matter what the Lakers put together next year, so they want to avoid liability. And a team like the Dallas Mavericks are 30-1?
Well, I don't like much of what...
Who's got the better roster?
There's too many chuckers on that team.
Paul, Dallas is clearly better than the Lakers right now.
Russell can't defend. Thompson can't defend. He gets hurt. AD's going to get hurt. We'll see if Flagg's a superstar. You got Gafford and Lively down low. Kyrie's out.
Come January, they will be one of the best teams in the West.
Come on!
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow, that's aggressive.
If they're healthy, but you can say that about any team, right? I could say that about Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. If they're healthy, Philadelphia might be the best team in the East. But that's a gigantic if. Same thing here with the Mavericks. Huge if. If they're healthy, there's a lot to like about the Dallas Mavericks. I mean...
Where you at with the Spurs?
Good.
50-1, you want a piece? Good. I don't know. That did not look good, though, once they acquired Fox. I was very disappointed.
Oh,
they
lost to some bad teams. That's also a very small sample size, though.
Well, I know. Yeah. But all the pieces are in place.
Like... Would I want the Spurs or the Nuggets? Or no. I mean, I'd rather take, like, Denver's better than San Antonio. Might not be close.
Denver's the safe bet. You got the best player in the world.
Yeah, of course.
Durant could get hurt. Still don't trust Houston. The safe bet's Denver, considering they went 7 with OKC and had injuries.
You brought it up, the Capella deal.
You get three centers
now. I'm completely missing that.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Over my head. I don't get it whatsoever.
Yeah, I concur.
We'll get into today's Major League Baseball card with some props coming up next and Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Out of nowhere, earlier in the show, people started tweeting us with photos of where they're watching and or listening to the show at today, coming in from all over the country. And so you can do the same on X at VSiN Live and Mitch Moss Radio at Pauly Howard. Multiple people chiming in from Omaha. Thomas, Chad, Roger, saying thanks for coming out here a few weeks ago for the College World Series. Great spot, great setup, of course.
We'll see you at the Drover.
Yeah. Tom, today, listening at his local gym on the Stairmaster from Youngstown, Ohio. Say hello to Point Shaver for us when he's back there visiting family.
Yeah.
This is from...
they get after it in Youngstown.
Oh, that they do. The Butler did it. Listening every day in New Jersey, a.k.a. God's country. We, had lunch with Irv today, who's from that part of the country.
And feel good for those people, too, as they've really turned around and upgraded the Newark airport. Good job.
He was saying, like, last 5 years.
Yeah.
It's a total 180.
I told you. My ex is from Cambodia. And when we landed, she goes, "Where are we? Is this America?" Couldn't believe it. It's a long time ago, but still, yeah.
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 This is from Paul, and there's somebody else who's chiming in today. Joe, where I'm from, actually, the Eau Claire area, Chippewa Falls, listening. And Joe's on his way to one of your favorite cities. He's driving to Duluth today. Hello, Duluth, Minnesota.
Oh, that's too bad.
Beautiful. That's God's country up there.
60 degrees in the summer. Forget it. The other thing, too, I met a gal from Wisconsin, Dells. She was in the high limit last Friday as Derek had a nice party. So, hello, Wisconsin Dells.
Dells can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, sure. Wisconsin, much better, I think, than Minnesota because of the mosquito angle, which summertime, you can't overcome it in Minnesota. The humidity, and then you got the mosquitoes.
Yeah, it's really rough. This is from Michael, watching from Pittsburgh with the pups Bullet and Bambi. Great names for your dogs.
Mm-hmm. Strong.
St. Thomas, Ontario. You saw this one, I think. Enjoying the Jays on one TV as they are leading 9-4 over the Yankees, watching our show on the other. His setup looks phenomenal for watching games.
Great setup. Strong.
Okay, so what are you betting later on tonight in Major League Baseball? Actually, coming up this hour.
Taking the Twins. Let's get on it. Remember, don't get caught with your pants down. It's a 3:40 first pitch, Pacific time. Miami off the 7-game road trip where they won every game. They haven't won 8 in a row since 2008. Joe Ryan's been awesome, not only on the season, but off a loss. 5-1 with a 2.94. Tied with the Dodgers. Best record in the National League going back. Miami. Incredible. But I think the Twins and Joe Ryan get it done, and they're taking money. They're up to $1.45, and I know our guy Irv already bet it. And quite the conundrum here. What do you want to do with Pittsburgh? Skeens? $1.55. So off his probably worst start of his career. It's terrible against Milwaukee. but they've won four in a row, all the wins by seven-plus runs. The opponent's been held to two or fewer. They've outscored the opponent 37-4. The only two other times in the history of the game that's happened, the 1911 Pirates and the 1882 White Stockings. So, Skeens has been owned, at least record-wise. He's 0-4 in five starts against St. Louis. They have his number.
Yeah, not his fault, though.
Can't hit for him, right.
2.76 ERA. The FIP is even better at 1.88, 10 Ks per nine, a 0.86 whip as well. Would you want to go Cardinals first five team total under? Would you look at that?
No.
No, you think they can get to him?
No.
I would ask you this about Paul Skeens in his last start. And look, it's a one-game sample size, so I don't want to get nuts here. Was that maybe more of an indication that we really need to be taking the Milwaukee Brewers seriously? Because they've been a wagon for more than a month right now.
And they're a good team.
You factor in some of the offensive output they're getting now from multiple guys up and down that roster with what that pitching staff looks like right now. Paul, who wants to face Mizorowski ever?
Mm-hmm.
That kid's going to be scary. And, again, not to crazy here, but assuming that team makes the playoffs, I'm not going to tell you that he's got the edge if they face Zach Wheeler or if they face some of these other, you know, guys who are incredible at the top, like the Cy Young odds board, you know, in the National League. But how many pitchers overall in the NL will have a clear edge over Jacob Mizorowski? Not many.
How many hits allowed is wins. It's incredible. Yep.
Jensen Fun Lewis story. Had a great point, though. He said he must develop a third pitch.
Okay.
Because without it, this can last maybe like six more weeks.
Fair enough. Certainly throwing 100 every pitch helps those too. I don't mind Tampa run line plus money. Baz last seven starts, 5-0 with a 3 ERA. I think they bounce back against the A's. Lau props are good. Caminero as well. Hit a bomb 3 in a row and 16-game streak for Lau as well. You could play his props. I forgot to mention fam props as well with the Pirates hitting 440. 12 extra base hits, 7-game RBI streak as well for the Pirates. And Albies is hitting 660 against Anderson in his career. You want to play his props, but what a story. I believe the number one team ROI, the Angels, who are right there at 500 now. But Atlanta, $2 home favorite in that one. And why are the Astros only $1.40 in Colorado? Gordon can't be that bad. Houston, the pitching's been sick. They've been awesome, and they're only $1.40 as they start a three-game set in Colorado. What am I missing here?
Well, that is really, really light.
Yeah. Plus, Dolander's terrible. He's batting practice.
Yeah.
Right?
That might have to be an autoplay.
Yes.
If you lose, you lose.
Yamamoto and the Dodgers are 350. They were 370 a couple hours ago in some spots at home against the White Sox. Chris Bennett has put up the prop, will the Dodgers sweep? It's actually, I think he worded it, will the White Sox get swept? That's available here at Circa. And I guess I have to come back with the Diamondbacks. It's Gallen at home, but this Giant team cannot hit.
I know.
They did it again last night. Devers, what is he, 0 for his last 11 with 9 strikeouts? And now they got one win against the White Sox, but other than that, playing horrible ball and can't hit since they acquired Devers. You figure it out.
Well, Suarez, by the way, against Birdsong in his career, it's a very small sample size, but he's batting 400 with two home runs, Paul. 400 batting average with two dingers, and he has, what, 25 on the year? You're not going to get a great number on him, obviously. It's going to be slightly more than 2-1. But Birdsong was lit up like a firecracker in his last start.
Yeah. What am I going to get offensively? It's just, this is a joke what's going on with these guys. They're 45-40 now. Yeah, last three games, Devers 0 of 11 with 9 Ks, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I don't want any part of this Giant team. And Anderson, much better on the road than at home. And the Angels only one game under 500. Your guy, Adele, 11 bombs in the last 26 games. You want to play some of his props
as well.
He's
been blazing hot.
So, and you asked me earlier, too. I'm okay with it, especially at a plus price. I know the issues with the offense and all the unders at home. I'm fine with DeGrom on the run line. He just shut down Baltimore last time out. During this stretch, DeGrom has more strikeouts than base runners allowed. His last 11 starts, he's 8-1 with a 1.58 ERA. I'm fine with it. It's DeGrom against Young.
Yeah, I'm wondering, too, other ways to attack it. Would it be DeGrom to record a win here?
All right. That's okay.
Do you have a number on the outs, by the way, for tonight?
Let me look.
I did not write that down, but I will tell you that he has recorded at least 18 outs in five straight starts and seven out of his last eight. He has made 16 starts on the year. He has not allowed more than two earned runs in any of them since April 11th. That is a very long streak. And to
plus
add on what...
plus 105 to record a win.
Okay.
So I'm going to give that to
you. They should be able to score a couple of runs, I would think, off Young, right?
And he's 17 and a half outs at DK.
17 and a half.
It's heavily juiced to the over.
Yeah. And to add on to your last 11 starts, in nine home starts on the year, his ERA is 1.83. We've known this the entire season, right? 3 months into it. Like, games in Texas are not producing a lot of runs. The whip at home is 0.93. His Ks per nine at home, I don't know. You figure this out. 7.2 Ks per nine at home compared to 11-plus Ks per nine on the road. So that's the only number that really sticks out in terms of being worse at home compared to when he's on the road. But I think the way that this guy's cruising right now,
mm-hmm.
you got to be able to trust him to shut down this, you know, suddenly kind of lethal Baltimore offense. And I know some people who are betting them at 60-70-1 to have the most wins in the month of July. Baltimore.
DraftKings has a couple of cool things up as well. DraftKings offers last team to lose in July, to suffer a loss, however you want to say it. And you also have team to have the most wins in July in each division. That's up available, too.
I think they're also offering overall wins per month. So you can bet on Team X to have more than 12.5 wins or whatever the numbers that they post.
Okay. And Singer has bad numbers career against Boston. There was fireworks last night at Fenway. How about, what was that, Burns? Oh, boy. Roughed up, knocked out in the first inning. And then the Reds get all those runs off Crochet.
There was a tailor-made double play that the Reds botched.
Oh, okay.
And then I think he kind of lost it mentally at that point.
Fitz is $1.20 against Singer. Anthony is on a 7-for-15 run. Slaps 15 at-bats. And, boy, what Abreu's doing. He hit the home run and inside the park home run. He's been playing home run derby and hitting 364 last nine starts. If you want to bet some of his props tonight.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Derek Stevens on the program coming up next. Owner of Circa Las Vegas will discuss the overall June betting handle. What does the action look like on a daily basis with most of these days only having Major League Baseball and some WNBA to bet on?
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Every Tuesday at this time, Derek Stevens joins the program live in studio. He is the owner and the CEO of Circa Las Vegas. Good afternoon, Derek. Good to see you again. How are you?
Good afternoon. Good to see you guys.
How was Power Slap over the weekend at Fountain Blue? We brought on one of the fighters, and the dude was not cocky at all. He was not abrasive whatsoever. He was like the nicest guy on the planet, and he went out there, and he kicked his opponent's ass on Friday night.
Yeah, I watched your segment. You were... Yeah, you're doing it with Mike.
Yeah.
Really nice guy that you had on there. He was a minus 160 favorite from Riverside, California. And, he won on a first-round TKO. It was pretty good.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You went because you love the events.
Yeah.
You guys booked the action here. You'll take up to a dime on it on the day of. Paul, did you know this? 3,000 people, a sellout at Fountain Blue, average ticket higher than $800 to get in.
Oh, my God. I did not know that.
Yeah, the ticket prices. I was talking with Dana. I go, man, I like what you're doing with ticket prices. He goes, yeah, they're only letting a few tickets out there, but these prices are really, really high. I mean, like, anywhere near the first couple rows was like $1,700. The cheapest price to, like, get in price was like $900. I had a ton of requests. I had more requests for this one than I've ever had before. So,
would you say it's something that you have to do at least once?
Oh, yeah. You know, we should have coordinated. I know I sent you guys a text, but it was last minute. But we got to coordinate this. You guys got to come and check this out. It's amazing.
Looks like we'll a good time. We'll make it happen, yeah.
I didn't see that, but I saw this one, and I couldn't believe it. Not that I should be surprised. But you put this on Instagram. At Stadium Swim, the turnout for the UFC card, you couldn't move. When we put that on Instagram, if you guys can put that up, it was... Look at this. Look how many people showed up to watch the UFC event on Saturday night. That is crazy. That's Super Bowl type level attendance, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at we're looking at this Fight House thing that we got cooking is pretty good. It's a ton of fun. It sells out. Our garage gets filled up. The joint gets full. And you know, we were also showing the Paul fight down in the sports book.
So okay.
So we had a lot of fighting action over the weekend. It was a great weekend. You know, in a weekend in the middle of the summer in Vegas, you got to try to make sure something happens. We got no more basketball, no hockey. You know, football's a little ways away. But to have that show up, International Fight Week. I'll tell you what, if you're a fight fan, it's kind of a good week to be around.
How was the handle on the Paul fight? It was completely under the radar this past weekend.
Yeah. You know, when you have such a huge favorite, you know, you're never going to get as much right. But there were people that were taking shots on Chavez. After the first few rounds, you kind of look like you're throwing your money away, which kind of were. I mean, it wasn't a great... There's still too much skepticism with Paul. He's a heck of a marketer.
Right.
I mean, the sports book here is 10 deep on Saturday night just to watch it. But it's not like some of the big fights of the old days.
Well, sure. But this helps now, too. He's ranked and eligible for a shot at a boxing title.
Yeah.
So if he's good for business and people...
He's great for business. He is great for business. Yeah. But what a marketer.
Yeah, no doubt. Tell us about how June went, the betting handle, and how Circa did.
Yeah, we're pretty unique. You know, we had a really good month. I'd say we underheld a little bit in April and May. But we came back in June. It was a heck of a month in June. Kind of like, you know, we're starting to see this volatility. You remember last year football season in September? Everybody, every sports book in the city was talking about how great a September it was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, for us, that's what June was like. It was a combination of some championships being crowned. Played out nicely. And we've had really good baseball handle, so it's been good.
Really? So, like, the summer months, not really missing that big of a beat?
At least in June. I mean, who knows? Today's another story with July. But I would say the handle was really good. I mean, I think maybe noteworthy enough that it'll impact some people will be discussing it 4 weeks from now when they publish the numbers.
Is that right? Wow, very good. Did you guys see decent WNBA handle? That's another story.
I don't know. I'm
probably not.
We have a couple of betters for it. But,
okay.
I don't know. It's not usually on my. It doesn't really hit my dashboard too often as far as a decision goes.
Mike Palm told me this on the air last week when Paulie was out. He said basically in 2 weeks, right? We're going to get the MLB All-Star Game. He said nobody bets the All-Star Game.
No.
However. We'd be blown away at how many bets you'll take on the Home Run Derby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Monday's going to be unbelievable. Mm. Monday Home Run Derby is going to be it blows away All-Star Game betting. But, you know, MLB All-Star Game is a little bit different than in the days of Pete Rose and Johnny Bench and Reggie Jackson. And, you know, you needed to win it for, you know, and it was something where you never saw the other league.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different, you know. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game is really not like that. Pitchers are all a little worried about it. There's nothing there. But boy, they've done a great job marketing the Home Run Derby. Home Run Derby will be packed, and the betting will be massive.
And you'll take tons of bets on every single participant.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And totals too. Totals.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
It's great.
Well, you're great with marketing and creativity, and a great businessman. How did this come about with what you did with Crazy Girls? And the bust, and then the presentation, and bring it over the iconic show from the Riviera back in the day.
Yeah, you know, a while back, I was a small owner of Riviera, like around 10-11%, and then when the majority owners worked the deal out to sell Riviera to the Las Vegas Convention Visitors Authority, which is now where the big expanded convention hall is. I was there on the last day. I think Mike Paul went with me. Mike, I believe. Was on the last dice hand at the Riviera ever, if I recollect. Mm. You can ask him that one, but I think he was at the very last table. And I wanted to get that statue, but we couldn't get it. The owner was going to keep it, all that. So it was 10 years ago. And then lo and behold, got a text from Vital Vegas and said, hey, were you ever thinking about that? I go, yeah, I've been thinking about that. So he then got a phone number from another guy, from Murray Sawchuk, from another guy to the owner. And I said, why don't you come out and have a drink? And we went out and had a drink, and it took us about 15 minutes. And we hit it off. It was good. He was ready to bring it out. The owner of the show, Crazy Girls, he had the statue in his warehouse. And it had been sitting in the warehouse just before COVID. And he was kind of getting frustrated. He's looking around. He'd never been downtown, never been to Circa. And he came by, he walked through, he goes, I love it. We just had to figure out where to put it. You know, originally, it's Riviera was outside on Las Vegas Boulevard.
That's right.
So we looked on Fremont Street. We're like, maybe not. Then we came over here where we put it now, right at the entrance to Legacy Club. Kind of matches up with the theme here, you know, overseeing like a lot of Vegas history and stuff like that. So I like it. It brings people in.
Is that your plan, where you want to keep it?
Yeah, that's where we're going to keep it, yeah. I mean, on Saturday, it was unbelievable. Like Friday when we were going to Power Slap, we were sitting there watching. There was a lineup. It was like a lineup. It was like a first communion line at church. You know, people are waiting. Yep. The pictures were, it was nonstop. Yep. So it's been good. It's been a good attraction.
I mean, it's like how many people take a picture by Vegas Vicky?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Countless, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a video that is taking off here locally from last night into today. Las Vegas locally on social media shared a better at Resorts World playing blackjack, right?
Yeah.
$25,000 a hand. Now, the video only goes up to about the necks of the people who are playing at the table, so you don't see any faces, right? And you can hear the person who's betting asking for a strawberry banana smoothie. And he's turned down, even though he's playing $25,000 a hand, because he's not staying there.
Yeah.
You saw the video?
Yeah, I saw the video.
Okay, what'd you think?
I don't know. There's got to be more to the story. I mean, you're playing $25,000 a hand. I mean, you know, if the guy asks for a strawberry banana smoothie, he gets a strawberry banana smoothie. If the guy wants a beer, he gets a beer. If the guy wants some Wagyu steak, he'll get a Wagyu steak.
Yeah,
you're going to get it. So that's why something, I don't know, maybe, Was it a newer employee that this was off the norm of what they get asked for? Something doesn't add up to me, though.
You know what this is going to turn into? This is going to turn into Nacho Gate.
Nacho
like
Gate.
Fountain Blue. Because already Red Rock and other places are tweeting it out
on
social
media. Yeah.
Yeah, they're mocking him.
Oh, yeah.
Fountain Blue, the guy got $45 for five nachos.
Yeah, daiquiri, margaritas, smoothie, whatever you want. We're good. At that price, yeah, you're good.
You'll make it for him probably in a blender in your office.
Yeah, of course. We'll figure it out.
Believe me,
a request like that's not outlandish. There's many more. As we talked about off air, what's the most outlandish request? Unfortunately, you can't say any of them on air. But this is a smoothie. Come on, we're good.
Yeah.
Are we on pace for 15,000 survivor entries?
We're pacing. Yeah. 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 We're. We ended up the end of June. I think we were up like 370 over last year's pace. So yeah, we're pacing for it. I think we got to do about 800 more to get to over that 50 minutes. We're on pace there, and the millions. That's about dead nuts almost even. So I think we're right about there.
All right, great to see you as always. Thanks for taking a couple minutes here today.
Thank you.
Good job.
There you go. Derek Stevens, owner and CEO of Circa Las Vegas. Up next, we'll get into In Pocket Plays. Paulie, I know, likes the baseball card quite a bit tonight. I have added an award in the National Football League that's pretty decent. Pays higher than 50-1. I'll tell you who I bet today next here on VSiN.
Determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right. On early. So a lot of these games go early, and that's why we didn't have the Phillies yesterday, which we talked about that. We love the Phillies. Wheeler had owned San Diego, and they shut them out, and got that right now with the Twins. A lot of 340, 330 starts now. Front Porch Bob to win the Open Championship. McIntyre 40-1. Ben Griffin 60-1. Raheem Morris, Todd Bowles Coach of the Year, 35-40-1. 49ers to get the one seed, 6-1. Check out the
NFL betting guide, which dropped today, and the Twins just underway against Miami. Miami Malinsky special back home after going 7-0 on the road trip. Ryan's been great off a loss, and it's a play against Miami in the Malinsky special, and also a bet on Ryan as well. $1.30 in that range. It got up a little bit higher than that as well. They're underway in Miami. Good luck, everyone.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier in the show, that $1.30 was a good price. It did close $1.38 here at Circa, as high as $1.40 in other spots. But I'm also seeing around $1.32 offshore and $1.34 at the Superbook. So it didn't move drastically there anyway, Paulie. My rough, oh boy, June comes to an end mercifully. Thank God. I have given back 30 units since the beginning of May. I'm ready to tap out on the baseball season. It has been ugly, and yesterday was another reason why. I had one winner, Zach Wheeler, over 6.5 Ks. He had 10. That was at plus 120. Contreras, over 1.5 total bases, no good. Devers, how about this? Good pitching matchups, right? Yeah. Overall for Devers and Contreras last night. Devers, over 1.5 total bases, 0 for 4, 4 strikeouts. Is that bad?
Yeah, the golden sombrero.
Yeah. I played, I split a unit here on the Mariners' first 5 under. Under 4, and for the game under 7.5. 1-1 bottom of the 5th with an out. Nope, 3-run shot. That's a loser. And then the Royals added one in the 8th to make it 8. Another loser there. And Jacob Lopez, he was good early. He had one strikeout. No good. Worst 2-month run that I can recall. And hopefully, you know, it means nothing that the calendar is moving to July, but hopefully that's over with now. Boy, oh boy. Ugly. Here's my bet that I've added. Offensive player of the year, Bucky Irving. For the Buccaneers here at Circa, I bet him today at 67-1. Super high on this guy. Remember Paul Charchian 2 weeks ago? He said he basically called him the best in terms of like an actual running back with his moves, called him the best in the NFL already. And I was talking to Charch earlier today via text, and I said, that seems like a pretty good number. He goes, I'd bet him at 40-1. And he said, there's a path, in his opinion, there is a path where Bucky Irving can get to 2,000 yards this year combined. So, I mean, Rashad White, I don't think is going to be much of a factor this year. Bucky Irving took over as the main guy. I think they're going to be a very high-scoring offense this year. On a team that can win 11, maybe 12 games, so certainly a division winner. And so 67-1 I thought was good enough. I also have another bet for offensive player of the year. That's 200-1, but you got to get the guide, which is out today, to figure out who that guy is.
There you go. Good tease. Want to know where the money's really going? Unlike other sources, our splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbook, giving you insight into where the sharp action's landing. See the percentage of bets versus percentage you handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits as little as $9.99 for your first month. VSiN.com/subscribe. Coco Gauff became just the third woman in the Open era to lose in the first round at Wimbledon right after winning the championship at the French Open. Lost to unseeded Yastremska today. She lost 6-1 in the second set. 7-6, 6-1. She said afterwards she was mentally overwhelmed. Mistake after mistake. They also changed the start in court an hour before the match. I feel like mentally I was a little bit overwhelmed with everything that came afterwards, the 21-year-old said, I didn't feel like I had enough time to celebrate and get back into it. The number 2 and the number 3 seeds lost today. Pagula also got beat, and the opponent there was, I think, 8-7-1.
And I think Luke said that was the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah.
The first round where the second and the third seed. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, like, the hangover is real then, right?
Yeah.
Short turnaround. Did not have enough time to get ready for Wimbledon. And she's basically admitting that after the match was done with today. And she was clearly one of the short shots to win it and out. And Nigel Seeley came on yesterday, our buddy, and he basically said the women's draw, and I think this was a common narrative, but, I mean, completely wide open. And, you know, last year, 100-1 shot won it. So he thought maybe the same thing could happen again this year with a big-time flyer.
And what a break for Sabalenka. You look around and you got the 2 and the 3 seed out already, and then the gal who took you out in the Open, French Open final too, so she's down to plus 220.
And Sabalenka, you said, has been to 7 finals in
seven of the last 10. Yeah, that's impressive.
All right,
no doubt. Got to close though.
Couple of games postponed tonight in Major League Baseball. The Brewers and Mets. That was Peralta versus Holmes. That's been postponed. Tigers and Nationals. Flaherty against Williams. That game has been postponed. And the other one is Padres and Phillies. That was Pivetta versus Sanchez. And you wanted to bet the Phillies today is what you said.
Oh, yeah. Padres cannot hit right
now.
No,
they're in a world of hurt.
Does this change anything? Are we going to get the Phenom tomorrow? He's pushed back. Okay. I'm seeing Peralta against Holmes. So now Mizorowski will go. Now he's not listed Thursday. Now what are they doing? He was supposed to go Wednesday, wasn't he? Oh, it's a doubleheader now, right? Oh, they're playing okay, doubleheader. He goes tomorrow.
He's
going to
go tomorrow?
Yep, the Phenom goes tomorrow night. Good.
Is there a time for that?
4:10, it says.
Okay. I was kind of hoping that would start when we're live on the air. I want to watch that dude when we're actually live. He is something else.
So we got 6 day games now tomorrow.
Okay.
Doubleheader with the Mets. Good action. And, yep, Yankees got beat again. They got pounded. Blue Jays a game back. What a story.
Yeah. All right. So do the Lakers do anything by the time we're on the air tomorrow?
Why isn't it something happened with Ayton? That's why it gives me pause and I'm concerned.
Uh-huh.
It should have been done. LeBron makes the comments. Portland buys him out. Rich Paul with the press release on behalf of LeBron. Portland buys him out. Stars are aligned. Same agent as Luka. Here we go. Why are we waiting?
I know.
No Lopez. Lopez goes to L.A. Clippers. Capella goes to Houston. What are you doing? And Finney Smith goes to Houston. And the Rockets get stronger. Not good.
That's a great move, by the way, for the Rockets.
Yes, it is.
The Clint Capella move, again, kind of a head-scratcher. I don't understand that one. That, to me, feels like it was completely unnecessary. But maybe that's a move of... they're adding him so other teams can't, I guess. There's also this. How badly did Malik Beasley screw this up? Because, again, he took an 87% pay cut from 3 years ago to the 2023-2024 season, the one that he is under investigation for now for betting irregularities. Today, the Pistons signed Duncan Robinson to a 3-year, $48 million deal. That would have been his.
Yeah.
After he was used to making, $15, $16 million a year.
Boy, the timing. Because now, it's like still, Rozier, that still hasn't gone away and it hasn't been cleared. And how far this goes back. And so with the contract on hold, who knows what his status is. At least Rozier was still out there playing games. And then there was like an illness, and I think Miami just said to hell with it, right?
Right.
But now with the timing, it's who knows when we're going to see the guy. But it's just a bizarre story where now David Perdom broke the news about the loan and the lawsuit and the financial issues that Beasley had.
Mm.
But then all the bets that were supposedly placed against him were losing.
I know.
I'm going to fade Beasley, but the stuff was going over.
I said
rebound
when we,
props,
yeah.
et cetera.
And when we talked to David Perdom, by the way, you can go back and listen to our show every single day and every show here on the network. You can find this one, Follow the Money, wherever you get your podcasts. I basically said, Paulie, rest assured within the next year, we're going to be talking about this again with another player in the NBA who was under suspicion of some shady business. And Perdom goes, it's not going to take that long. And I mean, we could be talking about this again coming up by Halloween. I don't know. But it will happen. That's going to take play. Maybe it's an NFL player, too. I don't know. But I guess the good news is that it's getting caught because it's happening at legal sports books. Otherwise, it's not going to be getting caught, right? Bookies, and you never catch it with bookies and offshore books.
What do you think about his answer? You offer so much stuff for even fringe players with the props. Let's just lower the limits then.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't have a problem with that either.
No, I think that's totally fine.
Yeah. That's how you can catch these guys too, though. Hey, let me get a $2,000 same game parlay on under with all the same player.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the Porter stuff all over again. Matt Brown and Keith coming up next. VSiN Prime Time. Adam Burke will be on the show. VSiN Managing Editor to break down the NFL betting guide. Cashing out with Greg Peterson, 11 p.m. Eastern. Wake up, VSiN by the books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis at 8 a.m. Loaded tomorrow. Looking forward to it. David Baker on the program. Just won his fourth bracelet, World Series of Poker. And also he'll address the controversy that happened. No bracelet awarded in one of the events. He'll explain why.
How about you tell everybody what they're allowed to bet on a prop so everybody knows going in?
That too.